Well, good morning. It's good to be back. It was good to be gone. It was a joyous time visiting folks out in Texas and having an opportunity to swing by and see James and Rose on the road and spend some time with Davey and all the brothers and sisters out there. But it's also a good time to be back with family and other brothers and sisters. That last song you sang, it's one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, but that's okay. Let God arise. Why do we need to let Him arise? Because we're in His way. All the choices you make, the things that you do, you're stopping Him. Someplace in your life, you are stopping Him. Get out of His way. Let God arise. I don't want to see you. I want to see Jesus in you. Let God arise. We do it in a lot of different ways. So I encourage each of you to find out where you're doing it. Stop and let God arise. I wanted to turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and I've been going back and forth on where I was going to start reading today, but I'm going to start at 24. I wanted to get somewhere toward the end here, but we will get there. I'm just going to start at 24 to get there. All right, Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's where I wanted to get to. Take no thought for the morrow. How many times do you find yourself worrying? We're going to have clothes for the kids. We're going to have food on the table. We're going to be able to get this taken care of, etc., etc. How many times you find yourself in the great what if? Well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what if, what if, what if? Stop. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Focus on today. Focus on now. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. The rest will be taken care of when you get there. Now, the other side of this, at least what I think to be in a similar vein, As I know myself, and I know people, and I hear people talking, so I'm guessing it's a lot of people. It's the same sort of thing where you start thinking, man, if I only lived in a different time, if I only lived in a different place, boy, you know them good old days? You pick your own day. Mine might be different than yours. Boy, times were easier back then. You know, the 1800s, it was easy. All you had to do was just grow some food, shoot some cows, and we're all set. Maybe you need to go back further. Maybe you don't go back quite as far. But when you find yourself looking back, isn't that the same as looking forward? You need to be focused on today. I'm going to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, so you can start flipping there. And the other way that this sort of thing I'm talking about manifests itself is, you know, in politics here in America. We say, if we only had a different president, you know, things would be different. If only those people would stop doing what they're doing, things could really be different. If only, boy, wasn't it better back then when they didn't do that? Do you see what I'm saying here? You do. Okay, I see some folks nodding. Isn't that similar to what that first generation that came out of Egypt did? Didn't they get to the desert? And they're looking back to Egypt for them leeks and them onions, looking for all the things of the world. All of a sudden, when you find yourself in a new spot, that old spot starts to look a little bit better. That's not what the Lord's called us to do. I was looking at 10. Ecclesiastes 7, 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Sounds like this thing I'm talking about. We call it nostalgia. Isn't that just a fancy word for looking at the times of the past and thinking that they're better than these ones? Nostalgia. We've got a sure word. Paul says it sounds like something they should have a pill for. They might. I mean, we call it nostalgia. You know, all these people looking back. But you know, in those former days, times were just as trying as they are now. Man was just as evil as he is now. If you don't agree with that, are you trying to tell me that the hearts of men have changed? Look out your window. It's not good out there. It wasn't good out there then. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Jesus. All this nostalgia is simply envy and pride. Period. That's what it comes down to. You're envying the days of the past, and you're prideful in what would be if you were there. It's a bunch of trash. Get rid of that anchor. You'll be able to move forward. Stop judging God. Accept where you are. Be content in where you are. Trust Him. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Take no thought for tomorrow. And stop looking back to the past. Believe Him. Trust Him.
Well, I learned a new word. Nostalgia. Try to use that in a few sentences throughout that time. It's a big word. It's going to be hard. I'm going to mess it up. It's going to be like, Stelgia? Natoplia? What was that word? I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, one of the things that you had said, Scotty, you said, just look out your window. Scotty, I ain't got to look out my window. I wake up, I see myself. I mean, that's where, you know, we're talking about let God arise, right? We want Him to arise, right? Well, that thing was humble yourself, look into yourself. You know, it's looking at, I ain't got to look far. I know the heart of man is evil. Has an evil heart of unbelief. Man, I wake up and I see that every single day. But praise the Lord, I don't have to partake of that every single day. That's the freedom that I have. Now, you were talking a little bit about looking back. Or looking forward. And the one thing that we have is the day. And it's not even that we own it. It's the Lord's day. You know, if we live by that, that's a freeing place to live in. But I wanted to talk a little bit. We were singing that song, Show Me Thy Ways, O Lord, Teach Me Thy Paths. You know, and as I look out, I mean, if we just take notice and hear that song, you know, it's almost like Lord saying, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm giving you that opportunity every day. Every day. And I wanted to go to Philippians 1 real quick. And I want to go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's an awesome thing there. That is an awesome thing. Now, as I look, you know, what comes to my mind is Abraham. What comes to mind is Abraham. And you see where Abraham, before he got to the point where he believed God, where he would offer up Isaac. And just to let you know, it wasn't like God was up there going, you know, I know Abraham, he's gonna do the thing which I had told him to do. He might have suspected that, I don't know. But then you don't hear the Lord's report of him, now I know. It was until he did offer up Isaac where the Lord said, now I know. Now I know. And being this confident, having this confidence in the Lord that he's going to perform that good work in you. I mean, if you just take a look around your situation in your life, what's around you right now. Right now, because that's what we're talking about, right? Right now, it's those things that are around you that the Lord will work to show you His way and to perform that good work in you. Whether it be through your boss, whether it be through your disciple, or your brothers and sisters, or all of above, really all of the above there, you have opportunity to learn those ways. He's trying to teach you those ways, teach you those paths, which are His ways. And that opportunity is all around us. Now see, the thing is though, do we take heed to that opportunity? Do we receive those things which the Lord is trying to show us? It's just an interesting thing. I mean, the Lord would give you the right boss that you need to teach you some things. He'll give you the right husband to teach you some things. He'll give you the right wife to teach you some things. He'll give you the right brothers and sisters to teach you some things. He'll give you the right fellowship that you need to teach you some things. What are His ways? Love God, love one another. You know, you go to John, and it's easy to look. I want to go to John real quick, and I think it's John 15, the Gospel of. And I turned to this before I went to Philippians, and it kind of led me to Philippians, which is interesting how this led me to Philippians, but, I mean, praise the Lord. And what it says here, it says in John 15, 21. It's actually 22 I want to hit. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And what he's talking about is when Jesus came and shined that light on the Pharisees in their heart. And it actually showed them where they're at. But see, before that light came, before Jesus came, man, they had a cloak on that thing. Nobody could see it. All they saw was, man, these guys are just holy and righteous and they got it together, man. But when Jesus came, it showed them, it was evident to them and to others that they were not of the Lord at all. They were not of the Lord at all. And showed them who they really were about. And it wasn't their God in heaven. It was the other guy. Now it's an interesting thing as I go, because it's easy to look, man, those freaking Pharisees. I tell you what, those son of a gun, those self-righteous hypocrites. But shoot, I look at that verse, I go, yeah, Lord, when your light shines in my heart, it shows me my evil heart of unbelief. Man, that situation I was in there, it showed me my unbelief in you, my lack of trust in you, my lack of love for you, my lack of love for others. Now we have a choice. We can sit there and run away from that light. We can deny the truth. We can tell ourselves lies. But what does that profit? Nothing. See, it's easier to do that. See, it's more comfortable to do that, isn't it? It's way more comfortable because you don't have to deal with yourself. You can go hide yourself beside some kind of facade. But that doesn't do anything for you, but you deceive yourself, and that's the ticket to hell. That's not the ticket to life and liberty and peace in Him. See, when that light shines in my dark heart, man, it's uncomfortable, man. It's uncomfortable. But I praise God for it. It's uncomfortable for my flesh, but my spirit rejoices because I can get shed of that. I can repent of that. What that word repent means, it means absolutely change your mind. Abandon that. Abandon that. And it's an interesting, when you abandon that way, it's like the chains come off your feet. They come off your arms. And you're forgiven and those things aren't held against you anymore. And you lay that thing down and you can take on His way. His life. His love. And And I don't know for me, but that process continues. And that's a good thing. It's a freeing thing. So every day, we have opportunity to walk in that light and in that kingdom. Let's get out of the way, like Scotty says. Let's let the Lord do that work in us that needs to happen. Amen?
Good word.
Thank you, David.
It's good to see the children grow. Scott, I don't want to see Jesus in you. I want to see Him through you. That's what I want to see in all of you. I don't want to see Him in you. I want to see Him through you. Because that is how God has set up His plan. He sent Jesus. He picked 12 disciples. One fell away, but the other 11. He sent them out in His name to represent Him. And as they represented Him, the people saw not one Jesus, but 11. Amen. And then God called the Apostle Paul. And now they had another one to see Jesus through. And the Apostle Paul taught Timothy. And they had another one. Before long, there were 40 of them running around that people could see Jesus through. And it kept growing and growing. That's what it's about. That's what we call this church. Church is the body of Christ. I call it boot camp. That's where somebody's got to wear the boot. And you know what they do with the boot? To get you where you're supposed to be. Where you can serve God, not showing yourself, but letting Jesus show Himself through you. I've heard it said, I wish God would use me. I wish God would use me like a surgeon uses a blade, or, you know, God, use me. Have y'all heard that? I don't want God to use me like that, because when a surgeon's done with the blade, he throws it away. I don't want God to throw me away. Amen. But I want to be His hand or finger. I'd be happy with His little toe. If all I was a little toe, now you look around. You know, feel your foot a little bit. What good is a little toe? You ever try to walk without one? I haven't, but I've heard it's hard. It causes balance. It helps you balance. And you may not know it, but when you're just standing still, your toes are moving, correcting your balance. So if all I was a toe balancing, that'd be make me happy. I want to see Jesus through you. Philip talked about the cloak of the Pharisees. They had no more cloak. That cloak was self-righteousness, and it busted right in half when Jesus came. But you know, I got to thinking about this last night. It was interesting that you spoke on that. We don't use the cloaks anymore. We don't use a basket. We use camouflage. Everybody wants camouflage these days, right? Look here, yeah. See, he got that camouflage on. Nobody can see him, right? I'll just blend in. The truth of the matter is, we think we can't be seen. But oh yes, we can be seen. You may fool some of the people some of the time, but you don't fool God any of the time. He sees you through all that camouflage. Get rid of camouflage. Now, I'm not telling you you can't wear camouflage pants. You go home, Daddy, he said I can't wear camouflage anymore. That's not what I'm saying. Get rid of the camouflage of the heart, of the mind. Be real. And let Jesus be real through you. When you go out in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means representing Him. You represent Him. Stop and think about that. Those that are listening by the internet or by tape or whatever, or those here, you represent Him. And you wonder why the world doesn't believe in God. Doesn't believe in Jesus. You wonder why the Muslim faith is growing so rapidly. They believe in what they're doing and show it. What do Christians show?
Well, we hit some things. Hebrews says what makes a heart evil is what? Unbelief. But then, you know, in Matthew, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Part of what I get from that is, you've already got enough unbelief to deal with today. You don't need to be casting your lot into, oh, it could be so much better tomorrow. Oh, it was so much better yesterday. You got unbelief to deal with here and now. And when you deal with that, today, living in the now, is the best thing you'll ever do. The present, living, make the present count. And, you know, there's idea of seeing not Jesus in you, but seeing Jesus through you. And Paul being cited as an example of that. Certainly, takes me to Matthew 7. And, you know, actually, I'm working towards James, and I'm going to get there. But it starts as a series of these scriptures that over the years have caused me great concern. You know, one of them being, you know, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I knew 30 years ago that now I'm toast because my righteousness was nowhere near. They might not get it right either, but they looked a whole lot better than I did. I wasn't looking like I had any idea what the deal was, and I didn't. So, this was one of the ones. 7:24 is the end, actually, the end of the passage. You know, that depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. When it, to the untrained eyes, the unspiritual eyes, they were just doing the Lord's work, man. And Jesus didn't tell them, no, no, you weren't. He said, yeah, you may have been, but you were doing it in pride and iniquity. It was about you. It wasn't about the gospel. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about the people. It was about you. So, 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So what we start talking about here is being doers of the word and not hearers only. And these people that he said, depart from me, I never knew you, they weren't doing the word. Because they were doing it for themselves. To be seen doing it. Alright. It could probably take me some other places. But I don't want to spend too much time up here, especially not following Davy and Philip. There's nothing I have. Nothing I have that has near the depth of perception that they have delivered. But this is one that's being added to the list of the things that concern me. And causes me some introspection. Causes me to have need of being brought to the light. Causes me to have need of having my motives challenged. And I started with this concept of, I don't know, a couple months ago on the Hour of Truth. I know some of y'all probably don't even get to hear that, so I'm going to do it again. James, where am I going to start? Let's do 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. This is seeing Jesus through you and you and you by showing that you're doing the works of God. Healing the sick, raising the dead. You're not showing them yourself, you're showing them Jesus. That's how what the ministry Jesus performed. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. This isn't a literary device. If your faith is no better than the devil's, and you're counting on that to deliver you, that's what he's saying here. That's not going to work. And there's so many people out here that will call themselves Christians. James says they're not showing their faith. They're not showing Jesus Christ. They're in the same place the devils are. The devils, incidentally, are not Christians. I feel, you know, pretty safe in making that proclamation. This isn't James being sarcastic. This is James laying down a challenge. If you're not doing the Word, what's the evidence that you believe the Word? Love God, love one another. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Preach the gospel to everybody who will hear it. If you're not in better shape than the devil, there's a problem. Houston, I'm done.